In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred and Little Steven's Underground Garage, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest this time around is Stina Bendiksen, better known as Rocket Queen. She's the lead guitarist in the long-running all-female Norwegian band The Cocktail Slippers. Their latest digital single, I Still Dream You, is out on Wicked Cool Records and a recent Coolest Song in the World. For certain, the ladies performed it at their Little Steven's Underground Garage South by Southwest showcase. We'll hear a portion of it now, followed by my talk with Rocket Queen on your coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Echoed songs of the forest goddesses. From our majestic sailing ship, the sunlight glisten on the river of promises. We tried to block the world with nature's generosity. We pledged our hearts with a child's curiosity.
It's time for our coolest conversations of Little Steven's Underground Garage. I am the Mighty Manfred, and my guest is Stina Bendiksen, better known as Rocket Queen. She is a lead guitarist in the all-female Norwegian band, The Cocktail Slippers. They've got this week's coolest song in the world, I Still Dream You, available as a digital single from Wicked Cool Records. Hey, Rocket, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Manfred?
Yeah, you are the best. Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. My life improved by chatting with you.
Yeah. At least that's something.
Now, I know we have spoken a couple of times, you know, over the years on our coolest conversations, and I was going back over my notes, but I don't recall us ever actually focusing on your own background. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a really small village in Denmark, south of Copenhagen in Denmark. I grew up with, you might call it a little bit alternative childhood. It was my mom and dad were hippies, and there were always people there. And, you know, it was like a very free spirit kind of childhood. So, yeah, nice.
Wow, that's very cool. So are you Danish then originally, or are you Norwegian?
I am Danish, yeah. I moved to Norway when I was 17, and then it's barely 2 years ago that I got my Norwegian citizenship, because it was not possible to have both, and I didn't want to kind of lose the last little Danish thing that I had. You know, it probably sounds stupid, but now I'm both. So,
oh, that's Norwegian cool. That's cool. You can be both. So, one time I was. I played in Copenhagen, and I can't remember the name of the venue. It wasn't this Christian town thing, it was someplace else, but we played with the Swedish band, the Maggots.
Oh yeah, cool.
And so what was interesting was the Danes and the Swedes were all speaking English together, And I asked them about it later on. They're like, oh, you know, it was funny because the Danes were like, oh, Swedish is such a terrible, horrible language. You know, it's just easier to speak English to those people. And then the Swedes were like, oh, Danish is such a terrible, horrible language. You know, it's too hard. It's much easier to speak English to them. So you, having spent time in Denmark and Norway, what's your perspective on that? Is it easier just to speak English to these other Scandinavians, is like speaking in Danish or Norwegian not so challenging? What's that?
Yeah, to me it isn't, because I've been living here for so long. But I mean, mostly the Swedish people and the Norwegian people understand each other. The Danish language is it's closer to German and you know, it's different. It's the same words more or less, but you know, it's, I don't know. they don't understand each other. Let's just put it that way.
So you got this kind of hippie family going on. Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have a brother. Yeah, I do. They all live in Denmark still. So And my dad was a drummer. He is a drummer. He just doesn't really play the drums anymore. And my mom.
So there was music growing up in the household then. Your dad was playing. Was there records and the radio on? Did you hear a lot of music when you were growing up?
Yeah, my dad had one of those, you know, big tape recorder things, you know. And while all the other girls at school would listen to like Sabrina, Madonna, Wham, and stuff like that, I was like, yeah, well, have you heard Led Zeppelin, the Black Sabbath? And they're like, something's wrong with you. So yeah, I've always been not the trendy kind.
You play guitar. What was guitar your first instrument?
No.
What was your first instrument then?
Well, me and my dad went to Copenhagen and he bought a drum kit, an old Ludwig drum kit. I think it was 67 or something. Really, really cool. And he put it up in the living room. Uh-huh. And then I started playing a little bit. And then he was like, wow, you have a talent there. You know, what you should do? You should listen to a song. You learn that song. And then, you know, in a month or so, I'll check it out. I mean, I'll see if, you know, how it goes. And every day after school, I would go home. I would practice on the drums, you know, really, really hard, you know, and I couldn't really make it happen, you know. And then months or so later, my dad was like, okay, well, can I hear it? You know, I'm like, yeah, well, and I started playing and he just pushed stop on that tape machine. He's like, honey, you cannot start with John Bonham. So I'd been practicing every day to rock and roll with Led Zeppelin, and I couldn't understand why it was so hard.
Oh, man. Well, so did you continue with the drums at all?
Yeah, but I also played the piano, and then when I started playing guitar, I was like, I don't know. It was easier or, you know, more natural to me. So I still play drums and piano as well, but I'm never going to be really good at it, I suppose.
Well, you know, you don't have to be. You find a drummer, but I suppose it could be dangerous. So you could turn the drummer and say, you know, could you do this? Something like this?
That's exactly what I do all the time.
So when was it that you discovered... You mentioned playing guitar was an easier thing. When was it that you discovered, oh, hey, guitar, man, this is great. This is where I'm at. This is what I should be doing.
My mom played acoustic guitar. Just, you know, used to just sing all kinds of songs, like lots of Bob Dylan and stuff like that, you know. She never, she was actually really good, but she never really wanted to do anything about it. You know, she just... Yeah. Did it for fun, and then she learned me a few songs, and then I was like, well, this was much easier. So
how old were you at this point?
I think maybe nine.
Nine, so still quite young. So I was wondering then, you have a little bit of drums, and you were taking piano, and you start playing guitar. How old were you when you first were playing in a band? Did you find any classmates before you left school to play with, or?
There was this, you know, and you could like have some kind of, I don't know if you guys have that in the States, but we, you can like have after school, you can attend to some different kind of stuff. Some people like to do math, and some people like to do music, some like to be, do arts and crafts. Mm-hmm. And I went to this this music class, and then later on it was like music class but starting a band. And then I think I was like 14, my first band, I think it was 14.
Do you recall what the name was?
Oh God. Well, it's in Danish, and it was really stupid. It's called Dødhøns, which means dead chicken.
Dead chicken?
Dead chickens.
Dead chickens. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh man. The it dead was chickens. A punk rock band. Yeah. Well, you know, you got dead Kennedys, you got dead chickens. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
And so when you were playing formed the Dead Chickens, did you find friends, classmates that were also, you know, had this sort of background that you had, that familiar with Black Sabbath and Zeppelin, or what kind of stuff were you playing initially?
Well, actually in that band we made our own songs. I think we were more or less like the Ramones, because we couldn't really, you know, we tried doing some covers, but we couldn't do it well enough, so we just started doing our own stuff instead. So, because then there's no rules, you know, and then nobody can say, hey, you're not playing it right. So, yeah.
So let's talk about the Cocktail Slippers, some like forming, because my understanding is that there was some group called the Barbarellas, and the Cocktail Slippers kind of came out of that. Can you talk about the formation of the Cocktail Slippers some?
Yeah. The Barbarellas it was around for, like, I guess, like 10 years, maybe more. And I was just a part of it for the last 2 years or something like that. Then the lead vocalist quit. And then the drummer quit. And then we were just three of the girls left. And then we were like, okay, well, let's do the record we've been talking about. And then we went to the studio. We got a new drummer with us, Tammy Sticks. First drummer of the Cocktail Slippers. And then, when we were in the studio and things just started to, you know, it turned out that it was not the Barbarellas anymore. It was completely different sound. So we, that's when we decided to change the name, actually. And then, yeah.
when was that about? Was that 2001 or when?
Yeah, 2000, I think. Yeah.
2000. Well, you've since put out five albums. The latest is 2021, Shout It Out Loud. The new digital single, I Still Dream You, is the sweetest, coolest song in the world. And my notes say that you wrote the song with Stevie Van Zandt. How did he and you work up this tune?
Well, that's a funny story. we're working with Stevie all the time, and it's like we will send him like really rough demos, and he will comment, and that's kind of the way we do every song. And then I sent this song to him, and we've been working on it for not a long time, but and then we just we thought it was a cool idea, you know. And then he wrote me back like right away. He's like, yeah, that's cool. And then normally, you know, he will just either come up with a few ideas or something like that. But then he called me a few days later and he said, well, I got some good news and some not so good news. The good news is I just wrote the best song I ever written. The bad news is it's kind of from the song that you guys wrote, but I almost changed everything. So, yeah. So he kept a little bit though, but you know, I know that happens to me too when I'm writing songs. You know, sometimes the song just kind of writes itself. You know, you can't stop it, you can't help it. It's just, and it turned out great, I think.
So the lyrics, are those y'all's original lyrics, or did he come up with the lyrics?
Oh no, Stephen wrote the lyrics.
Okay. And on the recording, I see. At least the notes I have is he is credited with playing keyboards and doing some percussion. What kind of percussion is he adding?
Well, you better ask Mr. Stevie Van Zandt about that. Well, we were in the studio with him in New York City when we had 2 days off from our last tour. And we did I Still Dream You in 1 day, and then another song the second day. So he just put on some stuff after we left because we had three more shows to do. So,
And you recorded this at Renegade Studios there in New York.
yeah.
And so you mentioned having the two recording like two songs. Is there like a new album in the works? When can we see a new full length?
The plan is, the plan was to release a new album in October, November this year, but we got so many gigs that we're not able to, meet the deadline. So it's, yeah, the new plan is January, February next year.
Very cool. Now you mentioned, of course, well, you mentioned having all these gigs upcoming, and that leads us to our next kind of subject here, because you guys are playing this Little Stevens Underground Garage Showcase tomorrow at South by Southwest, Saturday, March the 16th. They're at the Continental Club in Austin, my favorite club in town there, Continental Club. The lineup also includes the Chesterfield Kings, Slim Jim Phantom and the Wildcats, Soraya, Jelly Bricks, and Bobby Mahoney. Now you. I'm thinking you guys, you ladies, I know you've played South by Southwest before, right?
Yeah, because you were there.
That's what I thought, man. You know, sometimes it gets a blur. It can be a blur. So that was like the Spider House is where we played with you guys.
Yes, that's right. I forgot the name. You're right. That's right. I think
This.
we were at, was that the big, that was the outdoor stage though. We played at a
Right.
club first, I think.
Right. And then did we also play a Underground Garage event that evening or the next day? It was like in a club.
Yeah.
I
I
can't
think we
remember.
had like three gigs at South by Southwest the first
Right.
time we were there. And
Well, what year was that?
you got so many questions.
Yes,
That
and you're
must
filled
have
with the
been,
answers. I just have to extract them.
yeah, I think that must have been 2010.
Something like that, 2010.
Yeah.
I'll buy that. Yeah. I know it was a
I
few
think,
years
yeah, I
ago.
think it was.
A couple of years ago.
No.
So you're going to do this. Have you ever seen or played with any of these bands before, like the Chesterfield Kings or Slim Jim, Soraya, the Jelly Bricks? Have you ever played with any of them before?
So we played a couple of gigs with Soraya on the last tour in the States, like Boston, Providence, I think, and yeah, couple of places. And I saw the Chesterfield Kings a few times, and don't ask me when and where because but they were great, so I'm really
Yeah.
looking forward to it.
Do you know what time the showcase is tomorrow night on Saturday?
I'm not completely sure. I think it's 9 o'clock.
Something like that. Are you playing any other shows at South by Southwest this time?
We're playing at Leanne's Barn Dance on Sunday as well. We are and Bobby and Soraya, and that starts four.
Oh, cool. And so you're not just doing this the South by Southwest, but you're also continuing on and you continue to play with Slim Jim Phantom, Chesterfield Kings, Cocktail, you guys, Soraya, but there's several more cities. So, I mean, it's turned into a kind of a short tour. You guys, I'm gonna
Yeah.
read off these dates real quick. It's Tuesday, March the 19th in Phoenix at the Crescent Ballroom, Wednesday the 20th here in LA at the Lodge Room in Highland Park, Thursday the 21st at the Virgin Hotel, and that's in Las Vegas, at the, I guess it's the Shag Room at the Virgin Hotel in Las Vegas. And then Friday, March the 22nd, San Francisco at Brick and Mortar. Have you ever played any of these towns before? Phoenix, LA, Las Vegas, and San Francisco?
No, not with the Cocktail Slippers. I played I was a stand-in guitarist at the Whiskey in LA last year for another band, but no, we haven't. We're really looking forward to it because it's been on like kind of the wish list for such a long time, We've been
Bet.
doing a lot of the East Coast, but we haven't really done other than South by Southwest, which will be our third time doing. It's only just been East Coast,
One thing I forgot to ask about the South by Southwest. So, why come back this year to South by Southwest? Well, what prompted you to want to do to play the festival again this time?
Well, it's not that well, we wanted to do that for a couple of years, but then there was the pandemic thing, and you
Right.
know, and then after we released the album in 21, we had too many gigs and we had to plan stuff, you know, and then well, it just worked out this time, and then Stevie did an amazing job putting stuff together, making that showcase happen, and the Wicked Cool record tour, you know, with those gigs you just mentioned. So it wasn't like planned, but yeah, we really enjoyed being there the last two times we were there. So, and got a lot of new contacts, and you know, getting to play our show for new people because you know, yeah, you know, you never know who's going to show up at your gigs at South by Southwest.
Well, that's true. That's true. Back in 2006, Stevie did a series of Little Steven's Underground Garage to Go-Go tours, and they had these big tour buses for the bands. Are you guys traveling by tour bus? Are you in vans?
We're just in vans.
Yeah, and so I guess you're going to have. Now, when I'm on tour in the U.S., I mean, it's one of us is actually driving,
Yeah.
but.
Well, we will be driving ourselves as well.
Oh man, that's a lot of driving. You're gonna get to, but this is great because you get to see all the emptiness. You see all the emptiness, the beautiful
Well,
emptiness.
we live in Norway. You guys
Oh,
don't
that's
know
right. Well, then you'll be
emptiness.
used to it. I mean, you get to LA and you'll be stuck in traffic for 2 days, and then yeah, there'll be the empty spaces in between. Oh, so when you go up to, oh, okay, never mind. I was thinking of going dry. What I was thinking suddenly was going up the Pacific Coast Highway between LA and San Francisco, but I forgot you got Las Vegas in between there. So
We
you
got
have to
Las
do that on a
Vegas.
different trip. In fact, have you ever come to the US as a tourist?
I went. I like maybe five times or something before we played with the Cocktail Slippers. I used to run the Ramones fan club in Norway. So I was a really good friend of Arturo Vega. So I actually stayed a couple of times at the Ramones Loft, which is now,
Wow.
you know, a Joey Ramone's place. What's it called? Yeah, it's called Joey Ramone Place, isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
do you have a is New York your favorite city in the US, or do you have a different favorite place?
I mean, I haven't seen that much of the States, but I love New York City. I really, really love you. You can walk 10 minutes and you will see something you haven't seen before every time you get there.
That's true. All right. Well, we also when we were speaking a couple of years ago in 2021, we were talking around the release of your album, Shout It Out Loud. And one of the songs on there, She Devil, features
Yeah,
this
you're on
great
it.
spoken word in there. Can you remind us about that track and who was it that contributed that spoken word part?
Well, that was the most amazing guy I've ever met in my entire life. It must be the
Really?
best guy in the universe for all I know. It is actually the Mighty Mighty Manfred who's speaking
My
the
goodness,
words
that's
of
right.
wisdom.
I completely forgot. I can't believe that. I
Oh,
took
you
drew a blank
did?
on that. So
Wow.
how did we work that out?
Well, I asked you if you could be a total douchebag and be a kind of women unfriendly, and you sent me like 10 tracks, one better than the other. We still have all of them.
That's
That's
right. So that's kind of funny. When you needed a douchebag, you thought of me first, and I appreciate that.
well, you know, I love you.
No, that is a very cool track. And I thought what was interesting too was as I recall your idea of the song. Can you kind of go into that, explain, we're gonna go out with that tune and kind of set it up, what kind of inspired you to like, write the song and have me contribute that part?
Yeah. Well, you know, we've been in this band for more than 20 years now, and it was so common. The people, they really enjoyed our concert. And then guys would come up and they would say stuff like, "Wow, you know, you're really good at playing, for a girl." And then they would start like giving you advice on what you maybe you should use that pedal. You should turn down the, you know, the bass on the amp a little bit. You should, you know, maybe you should try these pickups for your guitar. You know, you should try, you know, maybe if you do another fill in on the drums and, you know, stuff like that. And really they always mean well, but I was like, well, do you say that to the guys who are playing a band? If you like the band, do you go up to them and say, wow, you're really great for a guy, you know? So, I mean, for years it kind of annoyed me, but then, you know, it doesn't bother me anymore at all. But it was kind of like just, you know, being a little bit, trying to be a little bit educational without being whiny, you know. that was the idea.
And it's cool. We're going to go out with that in a moment. But first, I have to say, Rocket Queen, best of luck with the upcoming gigs in the U.S., both at South by Southwest and this tour afterwards. And thank you so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to give a listen now to She Devil, Shout It Out Loud, off the album Shout It Out Loud. It's a Cocktail of Slivers here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Now hear me.
With some of their tunes, She Devil Shout It Out Loud. That was the Cocktail Slivers here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. That cut us off their Wicked Cool Records album titled Shout It Out Loud. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's lead guitarist, Rocket Queen, for joining me today. And thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Like the Cocktail Slivers, the Jelly Bricks are on Wicked Cool Records. They've got a brand new single out called All About You. And joining me to talk about it is one of their guitar players and vocalists, Larry Kennedy. He's my guest next time around on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.